You know, we're kicking off a series this month, and it's called A Month of Being Thankful, Being Grateful. Can you think you can do it? Can you think of something to be grateful for? To be thankful for? Oh, I am so grateful to be surrounded by, all this worship and all this love and just people who are, you know, in Psalm 103 it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There's benefits to being a believer. Do you know that? Who forgives all, say all your iniquities, all your sins, past, present, and to come. Who forgives all and what? Heals all. Say all your diseases. Woo! Promises of God. Benefits of knowing God. He surrounds you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Here's loving kindness. Surrounds me with this. Surrounds me with people who love me. Here's tender mercy. Tender mercies right here. Right in this room, he surrounds us with loving kindness and tender mercy. I know you all love me. Oh, it's good to come into a place that know you're loved, isn't it? That there's love in your heart, in people's hearts for you, who are people who care about what you're going through. You know, people who want to pray for you, who want to see you well, who want to see you blessed. Oh, I'm glad to be. That's not every place you can go, you know that? That's not every place you go. You know, I was in this place the other night with my wife dancing, and I did not know everybody in the room loved me. I did not know that. I was a little unsure of that. Now, we were having a good time, and there are some people there who I knew loved me, my daughter, you know, some of my good friends, some Judy's people from work, and they love us. But it was a little skeptical to rest, you know. But it's good to be in a place where you know you are loved. You know you are loved. And that's what we're talking about, being grateful for those places. You know, I want to go to part two of Paul's journey. So far, we've had a perfect service, haven't we? Perfect service. Absolutely perfect. I mean, we have had great worship. God has moved. People have gotten healed. It's just getting better and better and better. Better and better and better until that perfect day. Oh, I love being a believer. It's so incredible. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. So last time we left Paul in the middle of a violent storm. Oh my goodness. He had just been, condemned. By his own people, his friends, and the religious people around him, and they were sending him to Rome. Thank God the Romans saved him, and he was being sent to Rome to go on trial for, treason and all kinds of things. And so he's in this tremendous storm of life. And I believe that unless you read the Bible as a personal narrative, which has become more and more evident to me as I go through my own journey, my own storms of life, you know, some violent storms and shaking, that unless you read it as a personal narrative, then you're just going to read it as, ancient history. Yeah. You're just going to read it as ancient history. It has no value in my life. You know, this was Paul's life. No, it has value. God wants you to read it as a personal narrative. How does this affect me in my storms of life? And then the Word of God becomes alive and it opens up. And if you don't see it that way, it just is an antique. You know? And I know antiques. I've worked on antiques, refinishing furniture. And antiques get brittle. They get dry, they get brittle, and they break easy. So they sell products to restore them, to bring them back to life. They sell products. You ever been in a museum and there's a chair sitting down and it's roped off? You know? Is that your church of today? I mean, has it become antique? Has it become an antique? Not current with the culture and not current with what's going on in the world. And it's roped off and it says, no rest here. No rest here for you. No rest here for you. You know, you might break the system. You might break this thing. But thank God there's restoration. You know, there's things that we can restore and bring restoration. We call it revival, renewal. We have renewal products, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to renewal in the midst of our circumstances. Brings us to renewal. Someone, you know, since I went through my cancer journey, you know, there's all kinds of ways to heal. You know, people talk about healing. And there's natural ways and medical ways. And one of the ways, psychological ways, is you got to give thanks for your cancer. You know? And I'm like, I haven't gotten there yet. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think we can be thankful in the circumstances. And that what Paul demonstrates to us on his journey through the storms of life. That he's grateful in the circumstances. He's not grateful for the circumstances. He'd rather not choose to be in this circumstance. Because before he got on the ship, they beat him with rods. And, you know, I love that beating. You know, just keep on beating me. You know what I mean? I mean, we have to be grateful in the situation, but not for the situation. You know what I'm talking about? And that's very important. And I have come to appreciate every day more and more and more throughout this whole circumstance. So in the book of Acts, it says, but when it was day, whoo, hallelujah, the night is far spent, but the day is at hand. I'm telling you, there's a better day. It's getting better and better and better. And that's God's narrative. I love you. I love you. I love you. I mean, that's God's narrative. It's not the world's narrative. Like I said, I mean, if you just stick with the world's narrative, you are going to be discouraged. You might even be angry. You will be frustrated. I'll tell you that. You know? I mean, we can't even agree on daylight savings time. Let alone Columbus Day. I mean, Indigenous People Day. I mean, everything seems to be confusion. Ball of confusion, you know? But you have to have a personal narrative that you're sure of. That's why I love you. I love you. I love. I am fully persuaded. It took me a long time to get there because there were a lot of circumstances that weren't lining up with this. But when you become fully persuaded and become a believer, I'm a believer. He made a believer out of me. I'll tell you that. And then you have something to live by. You have some joy. You have some hope. Oh, my goodness, we need hope. We need hope in this hour. And this needs to be one of those harbors, those places of grace. You know, all along the journey when they're going through, oh, this terrible storm, awful storm, they come to safe harbors. And that's the personal narrative. This is a safe harbor for us. The groups that we have throughout the week, you know, Alpha and the Women's Bible Study and our SOS group, Survivors Group. Oh, some of the testimonies in the Survivor groups are so wonderful. And these are safe harbors where you can get encouragement, not condemnation. You can get built up and assured that God loves you and you're going to make it. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to stand by you while you're going through this situation. Now, remember in the storm, what does he do? He throws out four anchors. Do you remember what the four anchors were? One of the anchors is fellowship. That's one of the anchors. Fellowship. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Always around me. That fellowship of believers. What's the next anchor? Prayer. Throughout the anchor, and what did he do? He prayed. That's one of those things. When you're too weak to pray, we'll pray for you. Sometimes we're strong and we can pray, but we have a prayer list. We send out the prayer list. These are the prayer needs. We have people who can pray. We prayed for people this morning. Aren't you glad? Besides going to the doctor's office, you can go to the Almighty God doctor's office and we can pray for you, anoint you with oil. Oh, wow. See, we need that kind of help. What was the other anchor? Anybody remember? The other anchor. Fellowship, prayer, fellowship, faith. When you to agree is touching anything, faith arises. Sometimes minds in this situation I've been going through has been very weak. Has been weak. But I find a brother. Loving kindness. And what does he do? He prays for me. And my faith raises up. My faith raises up, you know. I'm not discouraged anymore. And what's the last anchor? Food. Food. I mean, when you go out and eat with friends, I mean, it just encourages. My wife can make a soup and a stew and a shepherd's pie that's going to make you feel better. I'm telling you, it's going to make you feel better and better and better. Where would we be without food? These are anchors of our soul, folks. These are they're simplistic things, but they're anchors of our soul. It anchors us when we're drifting and we tend to drift. And I think that Christians do food the best. You know, fellowship in food, man, we really know how to do that. And I love to be around it. And what does this month culminate into? Thanksgiving. Food. Think about it. It's my favorite holiday. Why? Because you don't have to buy any presents. You don't have to go to the store. You know, you don't have to stand in line. And you know, I mean, my wife goes crazy. She's the best gift giver in the whole world. But she'll start, and she'll keep going. It'll keep going. Just give her your wallet. That's it. You know what I mean? Woo, she's the best giver I ever saw in my whole life. She wants to take a gift to somebody's house if they invite you over. You know? Oh, my gosh. Or bring flowers. That's so funny to me. You know what I mean? But she has such a big giving heart. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, so the day when it was day, aren't you glad that his mercy is new every morning? Every morning, his mercy. Everybody does not believe that. Only condemnation. Find out your biggest flaw and flash it over the evening news. Yikes, I'd hate to be in that spot. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh. When the day was come, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach. Woo! Life is a beach, I'm telling you. A bay with a beach, a safe harbor. See, there's one out there. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Oh, the light is dawning. The darkest hour is before the dawn. Then the sun rises, and you're sitting on the beach. Oh, I love the beach. I know Sandy loves the beach. She's a southern gal. Oh, my gosh, I love the ocean. Something about all that water, you know? That water and the sound is wonderful. And they until they plan to run the ship, if possible, into the beach. You know, this is a picture to me of the church. That's what it is. The ship represents the church, all these people on board. And what are they looking for? That beach, that perfect place, that bay, that place of grace in that time of need. And they are certainly in need of a little respite there, a little place to go. And it says they let go of the anchors. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God. Sometimes, you know, prayer, you can't even pray. Sometimes there's nobody around. Sometimes food won't help. And you just have to let go. How many have ever been in that place? I just let go. There's nothing I can do. You know, it's called surrender. Oh, my gosh. Just surrender to the Lord. And that's what I did July 17th, 1979, you know, at about 8:30 p.m. in the evening. It was a Sunday night. I let go, gave it to God, and he made a believer out of me. He wants to make a believer out of you. That it's not your own effort. It's not all your own prayers and all the stuff that you can do. It's something that only he can do. And that's the place of miracles. That's a sacred space. a sacred space of miracles when we surrender to what only God can do. And so they let go of the anchors, loosing the rudder ropes, and they hosted the Holy Spirit right there. Woo-hoo-hoo! They hosted the mainsail. Wow. See, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. When you let go and let God, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. They lifted that sail and the wind, whew, wow, the Holy Spirit of God filled that sail and took them into the beach. Oh my gosh, this is supernatural. Doesn't the word just come alive to you? Oh, it's not ancient history, folks. It's a living thing that's speaking, a living narrative to speaking to our circumstances in the storms of life. God is there. God is there. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow, bow stuck fast and raved, remained unmovable. Sometimes that's a church. Or just get stuck. You know what I mean? Issues come up and things get up and we don't, it's ancient history to us. So we just get stuck. We get grounded. And I think that's where the church can be. The church there today, if we look at the church, I mean, sometimes we're just immovable and God, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I want you to move. I want to soften your hearts. I want you to move in a special way on this situation or this issue or through this storm of life. It's a narrative about what the ship and the church is going through at this time. It says, and it remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. I think the violent storms of life in this hour are breaking the church up. Whew. Remember through when Paul told the guys to throw everything overboard that wasn't necessary? We need to throw some stuff out. Some attitudes, some mindsets, some rigidness where we're stuck. We need to throw it out. Is it serving us well or is it pulling us down? Maybe in your own personal life, is this unforgiveness, this judgment, this criticism, is it lightening your load or pulling you down? Are you stuck in criticism, judgment? I mean, are you stuck in that place? You need to move into forgiveness and gratitude. Gratitude can take you to a place that no other thing can take you. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm telling you, I am so grateful to be just standing before you today. Because there was a condemning sentence on my life, you know. There's a condemning sentence. And I'm not all the way there yet. I'm still in the storm, but I'm surrounded by mercy and grace and love and forgiveness every week. This is so important in life-giving to me, to worship the Lord and dance before the Lord and to love the Lord. It brings life to me. Life to me. And I look forward to it. I was ready for it. When was I ready for it? Friday. I called Doug. I said, man, you're doing my new favorite song. Can we have church tomorrow? Woo! Oh, I could hardly wait. Anticipating what only God can do. Oh my goodness, how wonderful. It says that the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners. Hey, God's got a plan. Aren't you glad God's got a better plan? Oh my, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, so that any of them should swim away and escape. But God has a better plan. I don't care what sentence has been giving you or how you're feeling. God has a better plan. Say it with me. God has a better plan for the United States of America. Mm-hmm. He has a better plan for the Church of Jesus Christ. He has a better plan. And it's being revealed day by day. In my heart, it's being revealed. I have hope. I think we have better days coming because it's getting better. Didn't we say, you? Woo! Better and better. It's getting better. What narrative are you listening to? What narrative are you listening to? I'm a believer. And I have hope for a better day. There is a third view. There is a third view. and it's God's view and God's plan. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, so it was that they were all escaped safely to land. And that's what the church is going to look at. I mean, it's going to break up. There's going to be things that break up, I'm telling you. And pieces and parts of the ship are going to arrive safely. It may not look like you think it should look. You know, you have to be prepared. Maybe it's just not going to look how you're holding on to it to look. I would like this format to be on forever, okay? I love this format. Not everybody, have you noticed not everybody likes this format? They don't even come. And no matter what we do, they're not coming because they don't like the format. I love the format. But there's got to be parts of this thing we call church, that is going to reach people and save their lives. What are we willing to let go of? What are we willing to embrace? So you can look at this, you can look at this so personally, so wonderfully. It says that now when they had escaped and they found out that this island was called Malta. So here's another safe harbor, a place of grace. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in the church, there's going to be a place of grace. Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. There's always going to be a grace. Grace, sin will never overtake grace. Grace will much more abound. Much more abound, that place of grace. And the natives or barbarians, this is so funny to me. Woo! The barbarians, okay, showed us unusual kindness. Wow, the very people that we might condemn, that we might have hate for, that we might call names, that we might think of as unbelievers, still have the capacity in God's plan to be kind to you. Wow, God's got a plan, folks. It's bigger and it's beyond what we can even ask or think. This brings me hope, and it brings me of not looking by everything that I see, or looking at a people group, or looking at people how I am taught to look at them, or you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We have to have eyes. Anoint my eyes with eyes that I might see, Lord. Oh, let me see. I want to see how you see. Unusual kindness. Unusual kindness, and made us all welcome. You talk about a place of grace. Provided by the barbarians. Oh my gosh, watch out who you hate. Oh, they might be just working for God, you know what I mean? Oh, God is so wonderful. He is so unusual. He's going to work in ways that we don't even know. Oh, and they made a fire for us. Oh, the fire of love. There it is right there, the fire of love. Barbarians are capable of loving, you know that? Oh, how many know a few barbarians? Yeah, there's one. Yeah, I know too. Ooh, but they're capable of love. I mean, capable of letting God's love flow through them. Oh my gosh, can you look at people a little different now? I mean, it might seem like we're surrounded by barbarians, you know what I mean? But they're capable of the fire of love. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out and caused, because of the heat, and fastened it to his hand. And when the natives saw it, the creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, justice does not allow him to live." Shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Whew. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. When I got my diagnosis, I was like this. Shake it off, shake it off, off. Get off me. There's no condemning sentence. This is not my destiny. Cancer is not my destiny. Shake it off. I mean, I literally jump up and shake it off. It's not going to kill me. Whew, God's got a plan. God's got a bigger plan. Oh my goodness, how wonderful. But he shook off the creature. Shake it off. Shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Yeah. Shake it off. Sometimes you just got to shake it off and defy the odds. Defy the diagnosis. Tell them there's a better way. There's God's way. Come on, shake it off. Shake it off. You ever shake? Yeah, come on. There you go. Woo, we got some shakers here. We got shakers. Come on. Shake it off. There you go. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was in the renewal days. People shakers. Remember the shakers? Oh, my goodness. People would shake. Oh, it was so funny. It's so good. Oh, my gosh. And he suffered what? No harm. No harm. Oh, my goodness. However, they expected that he should swell up and suddenly fall dead. Now, that's their expectation. I mean, that's the expectation. I mean, I've had, you know, people say to me, you know, well, maybe it's God's plan that you go home. His will be done. You know, I'm saying, I know the will of God. God wants me whole. God wants me healthy. God wants to heal me. I am fully persuaded. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And his love is greater. Whew. Wow. See, some of us, we stand in judgment. You know, somebody told me the other day, they called me and we were talking. And they said, do you think California is having all those fires and all that because of the sin there? I said, absolutely not. That's not my Father. That's not my God. It just is not what he does, okay? He redeemed the whole world unto himself by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. And they were a little shocked because they expect me, you know, they expect me to say, yep. Bad, evil. Yep, they deserve it. They're going to get what they deserve. Sometimes the fallen part in us want to see people get what we think they deserve, you know, when God wants to just bless them. Oh, he just wants to bless them. He wants to heal them. He wants to show them their love. Oh, my goodness. And when no harm came to him, they changed their minds. What's going to change people's minds? What's going to change their minds? The goodness of God. The goodness of God will bring them. Bring them. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm not bragging, but I didn't lose a hair in my head when I went through chemotherapy. And somebody said to me, you know, I've never seen anybody this happen. God gave you more hair. Every hair in my head. I was as surprised as they were. I was shocked, you know. I was preparing for baldness. And I know a lot of people lose their hair, you know. The doctor was shocked. He was amazed. Whew. But it's a sign of his love to me. Not that he doesn't love you if you went through it, you know what I'm saying? But for me, this is a personal narrative that I needed of encouragement. And I serve a personal God. And I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Whew. And I know my Father. Oh, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. In that region, there was an estate. Now, here we're getting to the purpose of the whole thing, folks. This is might be why God's bringing you through something, folks. This is what God wants to bring you through something. He says, in that region, there was an estate and a leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Oh, my God. Favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord. Betty's got a testimony, you know, that she gave at the last SOS of the favor of the Lord that she went through. It's wonderful. She's got a lot of testimonies, I tell you. The favor of the Lord. You all have testimonies of the favor of the Lord. How you just have to open your eyes to see them. You know, whether it's a parking place or, you know, whatever. The favor of the Lord. How God wants to bless you. Little surprises. And it says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, and Paul went to him and prayed and laid hands on him, and he was healed. Wow. See, God brings us through situations to give you a greater appreciation for life. in health, in healing. I certainly do. I certainly do. And a greater anointing, really, to pray for people. To pray for people because your heart is touched at such a level of compassion. I told you, I was the pastor. You know, I used to go visit the people in the hospital and lay hands on the sick and walk out and say, oh, thank God that wasn't me. I'm walking out in the parking lot. But now it gives me a greater compassion. He wants to, whatever you're going through, whether it's been divorce, you'd have a greater compassion for those who've been through divorce. You know, that there's no condemning sentence on your life for that. Or whether it be emotional healing, whether it be physical healing, whatever it is, any failure in your life, he can redeem. He redeemed the whole world unto himself. The whole world. Your God is too small when you look out at people. Redemption is huge. It's universal. It's big as the universe. He redeemed the whole cosmos. That's what that word world means. It doesn't mean just this planet. It means the whole cosmos. Woo! Are you excited about this, Zion? I mean, you know, this is big. This is really big. Is it, you know, to think that God is punishing California for their sins is small thinking. Not knowing. It's not knowing God. So when this was done, the rest of the island. Woo! I want to pray for an island, you know? I want to pray for thousands of people. Oh, in a whole room who had diseases also came and what? Were healed. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord? Wow. Wow. And this all honored us in many ways when we departed and provided such things as were necessary. Oh, God wants to provide. God wants you to be a witness for his healing power, his love, his mercy, his goodness. That's what this is all about. You're on a journey. You're on a journey to heal those around you and pray for those around you. All the barbarians out there. Woo! Now let's end. I'm going to end in Mark 16. Matthew, Mark. And he said to them, who said? Jesus. Jesus said what? Go into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. Everybody, the good news. Go, go, go. That's what he's telling us. Go, go, go. Preach the new good, the good news, the saving grace in my name. In my name. He's given us authority to go out. In our places of work, he's given us authority to go out into the marketplace. He's given us authority in school. He's given us authority everywhere. God is not gone, all right? God is not, oh, if they'd only put prayer back in school. God never left school. He's still in school. I'm still in school. School of healing. School of grace. I'm still learning things. These things are still coming alive to me. Yeah. And what's he say? And he says, he who believes, he's made a believer out of me. He believes and baptized, they shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Whew. You know, I looked at this verse and, you know, we want to emphasize the condemned part. You know, instead of the believer part. It's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You know, it's like Kanye. Damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. You know, I mean, oh my good. With most Christians, I mean, you just can't do it right. You know what I mean? That judgment, that critical spirit, you know? I mean, he made a believer out of me, so I don't give a damn about the damned part. Woo! I'm a believer. That's what I am. I'm a believer, and I want everyone around me to be believers. To see the love of God and not emphasize the condemnation, but emphasize the believing part, the positive part. And these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Hey, you can't do that. You need an interpretation. Listen, folks, it's not about the rules. It's about the resurrection. That's what it's about, you know. It's being out of the box. And unless the church comes out of the box, they're going to die. I'm telling you, we need to come out of the box. He's given me a spiritual language, okay, to build up myself in my most holy faith. He can also give me a word with interpretation. There's both. But tongues are a demonstration of the power of God. That I'm a believer. It's a demonstration to unbelievers that there is a supernatural language between me and God. And I pray in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said. Oh, I love praying in the Spirit. You know, I was out Ubering the other night, and I came back, coming back from Vermilion. Yikes. You know? But it was an opportunity to pray in the Spirit the whole way. And then, you know what I read? That when you pray in the Spirit, it builds your immune system. And you know what I need? I need a better immune system. How many need a better immune system? Ooh, yeah. Now, I don't know if it's scientifically correct, but I'm a believer. You know what I mean? I just believe it's good for me. I really do. I really believe it's good for me. And he gave me something, a spiritual language. Those that believe, they will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Paul proved that. Shake it off. Come on. Come on. Shake it off. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. Some of you have proved that already. And it says, And they will lay hands, what? They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Whew. Let it flow. My brother loves to lay hands on the sick, especially when he's out working. Not just in church. They will lay hands on the sick. Laura, you missed it. We're going to pray for you. You missed prayer, healing prayer. Lord, I thank you for Laura, what you're doing in her body. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. When I put my hand on these sunglasses, I think that you need to come out of the shadows. You don't need these. You need to come out of the shadows. God has told me that you need to really come out of the shadows, that he has done some things and given you some gifts and things that you need to come forth. Really come forth in a real gentle way. Like you know, because you know the things of the Spirit, because he's gifted you with things of the Spirit. So, Lord, we just thank you for healing her body. Oh, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you for this journey that she's been through and the revelation that you've given her of your love through this time. Oh, we thank you for mercy and grace being at her side every day. Oh, Lord. Ooh, let it flow. Sweet, sweet Spirit of God. Oh, my goodness. Wow. This is so much fun. Wow. So, what's it said? They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, is this for today? See, there's theological arguments about whether this is for today. I'm a believer, folks. I'm in this thing. I am a believer, and I love it. I love being a part of it. You know, and it says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Is Jesus still at the right hand of the Father? Yeah. He's seated in heavenly places. This is for today. If Jesus is king, thank you, Lord. If Jesus is king and still on the throne, I'm telling you, it is for today. And we are so grateful for it. Aren't you grateful that you're in a place that believes everything that God's speaking about in His Word? We're taking it as a personal narrative of the journeys that we're going through. And you've all been through these journeys. You've all been through, and we're right there with you. We're right there with you, Jen. Right there with you, believing with you, standing with you in this hour. Teresa, we've stood with you for years. Been knowing you as a good friend for years. How many years? I don't know. Oh, my gosh. She went like this. Oh, my gosh. Years and years. I took her son on a mission trip to Jamaica. How many years ago? He was a teenager. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord, for Teresa. Just bless her. Thank you, Lord. Let her know your love. All these years, the love and grace that you poured out in her life. Whew, thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We come with grateful hearts. Lord, we come with grateful hearts. And we want to continue through this whole month with an emphasis on gratitude. Grateful for the good, the bad, the ugly. Grateful that we're alive. Grateful for those around us, that you surrounded us. Grateful for our jobs that sometimes we hate. Grateful, Lord God, for the weather. Oh, we have such opportunities to be grateful. Oh, in all our circumstances of life. So, Lord, we just thank you for it. And, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, come along and help us. Help us be those believers that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, David. Well, there's a lot to chew on with that. So you need to go back and listen to that later today or this week. There's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of really good stuff there. There was one part right at the beginning that really jumped out at me. David said, when I was going through my cancer, when I was. He used to say, I'm going through some stuff. Now he said, when I was. And that just jumped right out. David isn't living in the past. He's living in God's future. And that's the way we need to look at things, you know. And it's hard. It's hard when you're going through stuff. And you need His Holy Spirit within you. And it's available to everybody. Now, God gave me, while they were doing the last song, there was a line in it that said, I wrote it down. This is weird. And I apologize for messing up some of the verses because I was getting a download. It said, your presence like a fire, hope for tomorrow, strength for today. And I was over at my mom's here a couple weeks ago, and her furnace wasn't working. Now, it wasn't cold enough to be a big problem, but the pilot light, she couldn't keep it lit. Okay? So, I could fix that. And we started looking. Well, you could hold the little button down and get it lit, but then it would go out. I thought, well, there's something wrong here. My son was there, and he said, well, there's got to be something else. Long story short, there's a little bimetal heat switch that had gone bad. So the connection was broken. So the pilot light wouldn't stay. It's a safety switch. So the pilot light wouldn't stay lit. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Sin breaks that switch. Okay? We replaced the switch. The pilot light lit. Cool. Wasn't hot enough for the furnace to come on, but we trusted that it would. A couple days later, we turned the thermostat off to make sure it would, but a couple of days later, I'm talking to Mom, and I said, your furnace working? She said, yep, got cold, come on. The fire went whoosh. Okay? Get the spiritual application. There's a pilot light. That's the Spirit in us. If it's not there, That's because the switch was broken. It's easy. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and light the fire, and it stays lit. Then when the troubles come, like a bad diagnosis, whoosh, the fire comes on. That's the Holy Spirit within us. Odd illustration, but made sense to me, and I guess God said made sense to him. So take it for what it's worth. Make sure your pilot light's lit, too. We're going to take up an offering here in just a moment, but before the ushers come, I want to pray over it. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that we don't have to live in the past under a bad diagnosis. We can live in the future. I'm thankful that this sign up here doesn't say, you loved me, but it says, I love you, present tense. It's not something in the past, it's something in the present that you're continuing to love us. And we know that you'll take care of our needs as we faithfully commit everything about us to you, our time, our talents, our resources. And that's what tithing is. It's giving back to you the first fruits so that you can bless the remainder, take the curse off the remainder, and we trust you for all of that. Bless the offering, bless the givers, bless everything about it. Help us to be good stewards of that which you bring us. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Ushers, go ahead and get started. So next week, Sandy will be talking about path to joy. Path to joy. Sounds good, right? I love it. In honor of election week, everybody vote, you know. You can't complain if you don't vote, right? And when you do vote, quit complaining. Okay. But in honor of election week, you get to vote for your favorite bagel flavor this week. You know, and I said, why? And Sandy said, why not? I love it. Okay? Go out there, be a blessing. Don't eat all the leftover candy at once. Okay? And just have a great week. God bless you all.